Sports Radio 1290. CFRW, Winnipeg. All sports.
Spain are the world champions at last.
All the time. Sports Radio 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 2 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this morning at sportsradio1290.com, good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of all your hockey information for this Saturday. Joined in studio by my good friends Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg. Producer Tim gets us on and off the air like the expert that he is. Richard, Ezra, hey now.
Hey now, Drew. It's great to be here again for 2 weeks in a row. Now 2 weeks in a row. We have a lot to talk about here. We're at the All-Star break.
Is that some sort of preview that you're not going to be here next week or something?
Yeah, are you bailing on the show next week?
No. I'm just glad to be back for 2 weeks.
Like you've been healthy for two consecutive weeks.
I'm still not at 100%, by the way.
No? Still got the little bit of the remnants of the scurvy?
Yeah, there's a little bit in there.
Yeah?
A little bit.
You look a lot better, though.
OJ. Less coffee, more OJ.
Well, no, I'm off, you know, like everyone drinks tea when they're sick. Now that I'm pretty much at 95% of drinking coffee. So, no, but it's good. It's good to be healthy. It's good to be 100%, close to 100% healthy, actually.
That's good. I'm glad that you're, and you know, you got some color back in your disposition. So that's a good thing.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Richard. Richard and I aren't speaking off the air, so this is going to be an awkward 3 hours. there was an incident. Let's just leave it at
that. What's on tap?
Well, we have an action-packed show. That's what's on tap. We got three guests tonight. We're very excited to welcome back to the program Joshua Cooper. He's from the Tennessee and in Nashville. He covers the Nashville Predators. Joshua is going to be joining us at 10:30 this morning.
Quietly successful season again in Nashville. It seems to be the running story over the past 10 years. Successful in the regular season sense, not so much in the playoffs sense.
No, they usually, they're always locked into that, 5-6 seed, and then they lose out in six games. They seem to be consistent in that manner. Another very successful team, given what everyone expected from them, the Minnesota Wild. And we're going to be joined by their color commentator from Fox Sportsnet. Mike Greenlay is going to join us at 10:45.
First appearance on the show. The Wild, again, and the Wild a little bit more of an interesting team in terms of a surprise. And there's a lot of things to analyze there in Minnesota. We're going to break down the Wild season so far with Mike.
And then at 11:30 this morning from TSN, That's Hockey Tonight, debuting this coming Tuesday. Brand new hockey recap show, a nightly highlight show. Steve Koulias will be joining us live from the All-Star Game in Raleigh.
He is in Carolina, so it'll be nice to speak to somebody who's actually at the game itself. You know, formerly of The Score, moving to TSN. You've probably seen his ad all over the TV and the internet, so we're very much looking forward to having Steve on the show.
It sort of surprises me that it's taken TSN this long to come up with this sort of, like, you know, when ESPN had hockey,
right,
they had ESPN NHL Tonight, which was just basically, a 30-minute or hour.
It was a 30-minute
recap show on ESPN2. Because people don't remember, when ESPN2 just started, their number one property was NHL hockey.
And Versus now does that.
Yeah, they finally...
But it took them like 10 years to do it.
Exactly. And considering Versus, as far as I know, doesn't have any other programming, do they still show Slam Ball? They might show Slam Ball.
I think it only lasted 2 years. That was unbelievable.
Until everybody, I think everybody broke their, tore their ACL in one terrible slam ball. Instance.
Yeah. I think if there's one thing me and Drew could have made a professional career off of in the sporting world, it was slam ball.
Little known fact, Ezzy, I play professional slam ball in Greece in the summers.
It's big in Greece.
Yeah, it's huge in Greece.
You go see a little slam ball, you grab a hero, you have a little spanakopita.
As David Hasselhoff is in Germany, Drew's that big in Greece.
That's right. And that it's actually me and the Acropolis. Those are the two tourist attractions in Greece. In addition, we're obviously going to discuss the NHL All-Star Game draft recap from last night. We got some strong opinions on that one, so stay tuned. Next segment, we'll talk about that. Concussion problems are rearing their head in hockey. Mark Savard again out with a concussion. Sidney Crosby, he came out really some scary comments from Crosby, and of course, we're going to discuss really the. The ultimate ramifications of somebody with concussions, and that's former NHLer Reggie Fleming. They examined his brain upon his untimely passing, and they found some scary things there, and we'll talk about that later on in the show. Wayne Gretzky turned 50. I don't know if the entire world knew that, but I'm fairly certain that it was publicized pretty well.
Pretty well.
Yeah. The Coyotes' ongoing saga, racism in hockey. unfortunate happenings in Bakersfield, California. Mighty Ducks farm team, we'll talk about that later on. And, of course, on all your favorite segments, news and notes, statistically speaking, rapid fire, cheers and cheers, on the beat, six things we learned this week. You know, it's an action-packed show. And, of course, we want your participation. So you can always tweet us at Illegal Curve. Sign up for us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/illegalcurve. Michael Remus is on his way here, so he'll fire off the R desk soon enough, and you can join in on the live chat going on at www.illegalcurve.com. He's on his way here, so that'll get us started in a couple minutes.
If he doesn't get here in time, we might just fire him.
On the air? Is he fired on the air?
Live firing.
Live firing. We haven't done one of those in a while.
That'd be fun.
He's at least awake, right?
I spoke to him.
So we need the Donald Trump drop,
Yeah, but you're fired? Yeah. Actually, you know who does a better one than that?
Yeah.
Vince McMahon in wrestling. Gets the real gravelly voice going and,
You still watch wrestling?
No, but I've seen him say, you're fired before.
You're fired.
That's good, Ezzy. In fact, you've heard that more than once in your life, haven't you?
I'll start.
Let's go to break. We'll take our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll recap last night's All-Star, look ahead at what's happening in the All-Star festivities tonight. All sorts of good action still to come.
I got a lot to say about this All-Star thing yesterday.
Oh man. Richie's heated. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 10 minutes after 9 here on this Saturday morning. We got a call while we were on break, and unfortunately, I hope he's going to call back. I assume he's still listening. Dancing Gabe, happy birthday. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call back in studio, 780-1290, 780-1290. Dancing Gabe, everybody knows in Winnipeg who Dancing Gabe is. Legendary sports fan in the city of Winnipeg. We'd love to hear from you and wish you a happy birthday on air. So if you're listening still, Dancing Gabe, give us a call back, 780-1290. Guys, the All-Star Game draft, which is really might have been more hyped up than the game itself, took place last night. We have some strong opinions on that. Richard, you were ranting and raving during the pre-show meeting. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on that are just, we live in a world where people like to create news. You know what I mean? Like on Twitter and on whatever other avenue it may be, people seem to want to create the news as opposed to report the news. And I feel like this was just a created news story, and I think the NHL, in one sense, did a really good job of creating, because, we are on the way here this morning, and there was an ESPN radio update, and they talked about the draft, and truth be told, if there wasn't a draft, ESPN radio wouldn't have even registered. It's going to register in all the Canadian networks because it's hockey, but so they do get out there in that sense, but to me, it's just a lame attempt to garner attention. I mean, it's not the product on the ice. Nobody actually cares. It means nothing. It's just fake talking points, and that's just how I feel. I mean, Ezzy, I know, of course, you feel differently. Do you want to take the call first and then get Ezzy's points?
That's a good idea.
The biggest names in hockey on your radio.
Oh, no.
We good?
Do we have Dancing Gabe?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Dancing Gabe, happy birthday. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Oh, thank you very much.
How does it feel? Can I say your age on the air, or is that too much information?
Well, TMI. I'm great at 48.
Oh, 48, yeah, doing great. That's good to hear. What did you think of the? Did you watch the All-Star Game draft last night?
I watched the highlights yesterday.
And yeah. What did you think about it?
It's gonna be hockey. Sounds like road hockey, I guess.
Yeah exactly. Definitely got road that. Are you excited for the All-Star Game coming up on Sunday?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna tune in.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Most importantly for Gabe, we hope that
What's the deal with the Phoenix Coyotes saga so far?
That's what I was going to say. Most importantly for Gabe, and we hope that the, this saga with either Phoenix or Atlanta ends up in Winnipeg Jets coming back, because that's where we want to see Gabe.
Yes, we want to see dancing back at
that would be a great
amen 40. To that.
That would be
amen
a great,
to that.
That would be a great 48th birthday present, would it not?
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
And Gabe, we're going to touch on that later in the show, so we hope you listen. Still have him?
Do we still have him, or do we leave?
Yeah, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still on.
Okay. We're going to talk about the Coyotes situation coming up in a couple segments. You'll still be listening, won't you?
Oh yeah.
Attaboy. Excellent, Dancing Gabe.
Birthday.
Happy birthday!
Happy
Thanks very much for calling in.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Take care, Dancing Gabe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ezzy, your thoughts on the All-Star Game last night?
Right, and getting back to the first ever All-Star Player Fantasy Draft. That took place last night. I can see what you're saying, Richie, and all your points are valid, and I don't necessarily disagree with them. I thought that the idea when it came out. You know, we were a little bit against it, thinking like, you know, is this really necessary? Just pick the teams and let's play. And you know, I have to admit that, you know, in the hours leading up to the draft yesterday, and with TSN's coverage, they obviously were covering it all day and hyping it up on SportsCenter and Off the Record and yada, yada, yada. Sure. And, you know, it was approaching, I really got excited because I actually was thinking, you know what, these guys are actually putting some thought into their teams, you know, Team Stahl and Team Lidstrom and the captains. And then the picks started coming out, and I was tweeting, and I was, you know, there was a lot of talk of Cam Ward getting selected, and I thought, you know, why is a goalie going to get taken? I realized the goalies had to be taken in the first 10 rounds. And then it started to be very predictable, but I thought that the player fantasy draft actually overall was good. I think the things that were highlighted, which were positive, were, you know, the Sedins getting broken up. That made for, you know, compelling TV.
Let me cut in for a second. This Friday night thing garnered some attention, okay? You know, the fantasy draft garnered some attention. But I feel like there's gonna be even less tension on the actual game. Now who cares? It's just random teams together.
Do you think there ever was any tension in the games, though?
No, I'm not saying there ever was. But, like, first of all, nobody knows whose team is on who's on whose team anymore.
No, that's, you know.
You know, at least in the Eastern Conference,
you knew who was in the East and you knew who was in the West.
Conceivably, you would see Gretzky play with Ovechkin. Crosby play with Ovechkin.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that. Or Sedin's, you know. And, you know, the joke about the Sedins playing a part. The truth is, if you want to see some cool trick plays and things like that in an All-Star game, you want them to play together.
That's right. The best players, the players with the most chemistry are the ones who spend all the time together.
That's exactly right. Regardless, the game on Sunday is going to be junk.
It always is.
Nobody ever is.
I mean, nobody cares. It's the All-Star game. Nobody cares. I mean, you look at the roster of play. If you really want an All-Star game, you pick the most skilled players and you don't care about positions. If you want an All-Star game, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, lots of the players that are attending the All-Star game are nice players, and they're good defensemen, or they're good, but they're not the most skilled. Like, nobody's paying a ticket to watch Keith Yandel play hockey.
I would, but, Drew, this is the point. The All-Star game is entertainment, okay? And
for some.
Regardless,
it's not.
let's get past whether or not we like the All-Star game. I think we all agree. We've made ourselves clear here. The point is that hopefully it's a little bit more competitive, and the fact is that next year they're gonna keep this next year. The NHL player fantasy draft, this format, I think is here to stay, at least in the not so in the near future. One of the main problems that I had was the fact that the goalies had to be selected in the first 10 rounds, and that all of the defensemen had to be taken by the 15th round. Jonathan Toews didn't end up being selected until the 16th overall pick. And right before him, Dustin Byfuglien was selected. I mean, if you think about it, Dustin Byfuglien is a defensive defense. He's having a good offensive year. I just think that they should.
Lizzie, but your point is they're drafting Dustin Byfuglien before the basically the MVP of the national of all hockey in the world last year, Jonathan Toews.
That's right.
It's not realistic. It's a waste of time.
That's right. Exactly right. If you shouldn't have been the rules and regulations about you know, players have to get drafted in this order or anything like that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Why is there assistant captains?
No, why
do there need to be assistant
why
captains?
Why is there a rule for goalies and defensemen not going last? Who cares?
Yeah. Does there need to be assistant captains? Is somebody saying at home, Nicholas Lidstrom's going to get into an argument with the ref and he's not on the ice, so Ryan Kesler has to step in? It's the All-Star game. Have a little more fun with it. I mean, I saw a really good tweet, and that came from our good friend Graham Natchuk. He blogs over at Progressive Winnipeg. .blogspot.com. He said, I'd rather tell people, this is in regards to Phil Kessel, I'd rather tell people I want a car for being picked last in an NHL All-Star game than tell people I was a Toronto Maple Leaf.
There was no need for that car to be given out.
Yeah, there was no need for it.
There was absolutely no... That was one of the most negative aspects of last night, was the fact that a car was given out to the last pick and $20,000 was given to Phil Kessel. It's a slap in the face.
It goes to charity.
It goes to charity.
Let me ask you this, though. It's true. Wasn't there more tension on the last pick than the first pick?
Yeah.
We had a hockey practice, I didn't see the last pick live, but...
Well, it was between Paul Stastny and Phil Kessel for the last two picks.
First of all, Stastny's better than a lot of players who were drafted before him. And second of all, wasn't the first pick in the draft Cam Ward?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, a lot of hype.
Why was Paul Stastny there? Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
why would the good forwards be there when you wouldn't take... Dustin Byfuglien before any of the forwards if you were trying to win the game, because they have to change the format next year so that anybody could be drafted anywhere.
They should get rid of it.
You know what they should do? I mean, I know it's never going to happen. I've been harping on the fact that the NHL season is way too long for years now.
Right.
You know,
well, that's not changing.
No, they're not going to get rid of the All-Star game, which is unfortunate.
The truth is, Drew, for the people who don't go, it's a break.
Yeah, I mean, I understand
that. Eric Hatch wrote about it in the Globe yesterday, saying, you know, Paul Mara of the Anaheim Ducks saying the 5-day break is necessary.
Yeah.
And the players who go to the All-Star game sometimes can't even give it. They're tired.
Yeah.
So the guys, they already have. So what happens is, and if people aren't aware, a lot of players opt out, and a lot of players like Zetterberg opted out before, so they weren't even selected.
That's right.
But the truth is that the guys who get you know, are like PK Subban, who are invited late, they don't want to be invited. They've booked vacations, and you joke about, oh, they're paying $5 million a year, and they book. You know, they need some rest and relaxation. They need to get recharged the batteries. Remember last year, guys, there's a 2-week break. There's no All-Star game. There's a 2-week break for the non-Olympic players, and they recharge their batteries.
Yeah,
and that's the whole thing, though, because the fans, the hardcore fans, we're not just talking about your average fan, because the hardcore fans even don't really take the All-Star game seriously, and they just, you know, you'll turn it on, and you'll see, you know, the score, Team West. Or Team North America's beating Team World 14-5.
Right,
and no one cares. The fact that the hardcore fans don't care just proves that the players really shouldn't care, because it is
It is kind of going through the motions.
Is this the first year, by the way, when the Pro Bowl and the...
No, last year it was... I think last year or 2 years ago was also at the same time. They went back to back.
At the same time, so we don't have to watch either?
That would be nice. I mean, they're both awful. I mean, actually, the NHL All-Star game might be better than the Pro Bowl.
No, it's better than the Pro Bowl, because you can still have a good game of hockey without any contact.
That's right. I mean, you can't have a good game of football.
I would enjoy, though, if they did it, in all honesty. We all make fun. We still are huge hockey fans. We probably do watch the All-Star game or some form of it. Drew probably doesn't.
I prefer the... I mean, I'm concerned, the skills competition is way better than the All-Star game itself.
Yeah, sometimes. But I would prefer, Drew, that... And then I would prefer that they try some a little bit more trick. Like, they don't really do the crazy.
You know what they should do? They should play the All-Star game 4-on-4.
Not a bad idea.
Why not? Let them have the room to do fancy things. You don't have to take it so seriously. Play the first period 4-on-4. Play the second period 3-on-3.
No, I don't want to do 4-on-4 because then you get the whole crowd. We should play hockey all the time at 4-on-4.
Well, come on. That's nonsense. You can't change the game to that effect. I mean, you might as well. Then that's 8 feet wide and have two goalies if you're going to do that. 780-1290. 780-1290 if you had a strong opinion on the All-Star game. Michael Remus has made his way to the
Remus.
Studio. Remus, give us a little bit of a wave over there.
Give us a hey now.
Yeah, no mic there, so no hey now. But anyways, you're live chatting over there at www.illegalcurve.com. If you want to get in and don't want to hear your voice on the air, but you want to get your 2 cents in, there's Remus giving us a nice little wave. Morning, Remus. 780-1290. Have the most fun possible with the All-Star game if you're going to really take it seriously.
You know what was funny when... how James Duffy was interviewing each player after they were selected, and then he interviewed Mark Stahl, I think it was in the, eighth or ninth round, and he asked Eric Stahl if he was about to draft Mark Stahl, and then he drafted Lundqvist. He goes, from the New York Rangers, Henry, and Mark Stahl obviously thought it was going to be him. That was funny. I mean, that was actually pretty entertaining. The interviews were very cliche. Like, how many times is the guy going to say, it's fun, I'm just happy to, I'm just here to have fun? That's what it really is all about. And another thing I was going to mention, and I tweeted this on my own Twitter account, I thought it was kind of a nice little touch that the alternates were mic'd up.
No, that was good. I mean, I agree that is. Yeah, I mean, it made it a little bit more watchable, a little bit more, personal. But it's true.
We have James calling. He's got a take on the All-Star game. James, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
How you guys doing this morning?
Very well. How about yourself?
Doing great. I'd like to see a format go back to the Stanley Cup champions play the best of the rest in the NHL.
I agree with you 100%. I don't know if you
were watching
some of the highlights that they were playing last night on TSN of, basically that format was pre-expansion era, pre-1967, but I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that would actually be competitive.
What about, NHL All-Stars against KHL All-Stars?
Well,
it's some kind of pride. James' idea there is essentially putting some kind of pride on the line.
Yeah, the problem with that is the KHL, people would take the game too seriously at that point, and no NHL team wants to have any of their players injured because a KHL guy who wants to prove that the KHL is better than the NHL would take a run at somebody. It wouldn't be a legitimate... An All-Star game is it's a fake game of hockey.
Festival.
There's no real competition.
Yeah.
And that would be the fear, is that one of their real players would go down. Because if you don't think for a second that the Russian authorities wouldn't be demanding that the KHL guys go all out against the NHL guys, you're fooling yourself.
I think also the point needs to be made that back in the day, the All-Star game was a little bit more of a big deal for, you know, players who played in smaller markets who didn't get a lot of attention. Now in this day and age with Twitter and the media as it is, everybody gets enough attention that they don't need to go to the All-Star game to create that.
James, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
You know, we need to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the concussion problems that are affecting the biggest All-Star of them all.
And that probably is the biggest taint on this weekend.
That's right. It's overshadowing things. We'll talk to Steve Koulias about that later on. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. Big show still ahead for you on this Saturday morning. Really? What are you saying, Richard?
You're like, you're going to say 30 different things right there.
My brain works at a rapid rate of speed is what happens there. Still to come, interviews with Joshua Cooper from the Tennessee and Mike Greenlay from Fox Sportsnet Minnesota and the guy who you heard in the commercial during the break, Steve Koulias,
right,
from That's Hockey Tonight coming up. Of course, we're very excited to let you know that on Monday, February 28th, not only is that the NHL trade deadline, but we're going to be doing a special version of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show 2-6. On that Monday afternoon. So the trade deadline is 2 o'clock Central Time in Winnipeg. As soon as that buzzer hits in NHL head offices, we're coming on air. We'll recap every trade, all the breaking news from what's guaranteed to be a very busy day in the NHL trade deadline.
It's going to be a lot of seventh round for third round draft pick swaps.
And you never know when other big trades are going to. You never know when Ryan Smith's going to be traded again.
Well, the truth is also that exactly the trades trickle in after that 2 o'clock deadline, probably up to about 3:30. So we'll be breaking trades and analyzing trades, and we'll be taking your calls. We'll be getting some guests. It's going to be a good one.
2-6 Monday, February 28th. We'll be on the Saturday before. I won't be.
Hold on. Are we going to come on 2-6 like the day before after our Saturday show and just actually talk about Thomas Cabrera for 4 hours?
I should hope not. You can do that. I won't be here.
5 years now where Thomas Cabrera could be traded.
But Brian Burke still thinks he can get more for him.
Anyways, 2-6 Monday, February 28th. We're excited about that. The trade deadline recap show here on Sports Radio 1290. Come join the conversation, www.illegalcurve.com. There's the live chat going on. You can always send us a tweet at illegalcurve, facebook.com/illegalcurve, and you can always send us an email, drew@illegalcurve.com. The big absence in Carolina this week is Sidney Crosby and his concussion. Sidney Crosby. Geno
and Malkin.
I would not put them on anywhere near the same level. The face of the NHL is Sidney Crosby. Malkin is a nice player. He'd be a very good skilled player.
He'd one be of the best players in the world.
He'd be a good skilled player to have in the All-Star game, but Sidney Crosby's no one's sitting at home. Oh, Gene Malkin's not there. Now I'm
Malkin
really
fans, call in right now, 780-1290.
I'm not saying he's not a good player. He's a very good player. But Sidney Crosby is the face of the NHL.
Fair enough.
The breadwinner for the NHL, and he is not there. And apparently, I mean, which is very scary, I mean, concussions are getting scarier and scarier. He couldn't watch TV. He couldn't drive.
He was bothered by those.
He was bothered by the light. These are scary things. And
how is he going to watch The Amazing Race?
He's not. That's
okay.
The point.
Let's be real here.
Pretty sure it's in hiatus also.
This is absolutely huge news. There's obviously ownership issues going on in the NHL right now, Richie, but the fact that right now Sidney Crosby is out with post-concussion syndrome, mm-hmm, and he has his side effects, his symptoms are so bad that he can't watch TV, is a huge news, and it's going to force Gary Bettman and the Board of Governors to speed up the process of basically bringing in a new headshot rule, which is going to eliminate all headshots.
I don't need them to speed it up. I need them to be consistent about headshots.
Well, they're not consistent about anything. We know that much. But this injury is huge. I mean, the only question, guys, is, I mean, how do you
headshots have to be, let's be honest, I'm not the first person to mention this. Headshots have to be eliminated, period. There can be no gray area.
Maybe it was a purposeful head. I don't know. But it looked fairly incidental to me. How do you prevent injuries like that? I don't know.
Maybe the rule is if you hit a guy in the head, you're gone for 3 games.
Okay, so that means, but Sekulow has been gone for three games, and Crosby's still be out.
I know that, but you know, then they'll really start to think. The problem is, you never know when they're actually getting punished, or what the if you hit a guy in the head, sometimes it's punished, sometimes it's not punished. Maybe you make it like the quarterbacks in the NFL. You hit a quarterback in the head, even if it's incidental, even if you meant to hit him in the chest, you're gone. You're getting a 15-yard penalty and a fine.
The bigger picture here is the fact that the National Hockey League's best player has concussion problems, and this problem, unlike a broken arm that heals and then you're fine, this problem could very well be a problem for the rest of his career. I hope not. I mean, Roy McGregor of the Globe and Mail wrote an article about this, you know, that it's affecting Crosby right now. It could affect him for the rest of his career.
Absolutely.
You know, he mentioned that. And the
truth is, once you get one concussion, you're susceptible to others.
And that's very worrisome. Now, and Crosby, guys, you know, he doesn't go around looking for it, but he takes a fair pounding, and
he's always got the puck.
It's worrisome. It's a worrisome injury.
Here's the quote from Crosby. It's brutal, Crosby said. You sit around and you can't really do anything. Even watching TV early on, I couldn't do that. The biggest thing is just things you take for granted. Things you do every day, like driving, stuff like that, would set the headaches off. You look at Crosby and the guy, you know, relatively, you know, innocuous hit by on the initial appearance.
3 weeks ago, people were calling him, you know, the next good as Gretzky. You know, there's articles about, you know, his numbers and the pace he was on. And 3 weeks later, you're worried about if he's going to play a game the rest of the season. And he will most likely come back, but you never know. And by the way,
everybody thought that a lot of other guys who were going to come back the week after, and they never did.
We unfortunately very well may have seen the last of Mark Savard's playing days.
Well, that's an excellent...
I don't see him coming back.
His family has to sit down with him and say, right, you just can't do this. I mean, that was a nothing hit he took.
Nothing. He's made a lot of money, too.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Savard also helped with a moderate concussion. I don't know what a moderate concussion is anymore.
Doesn't make a difference with his history. And look at David Booth, for example, guys. I mean, the guy was on the coming up. He was going to be a rising star, in my opinion, a terrific mix of skill and speed. You know, not having a good season, coming back from two concussions, not the same player he was. And can he ever be the same player? I don't know. And that's the real worry. The question is, you know, when Savard came back, let's be real, guys. When Savard came back from the injury, he wasn't the same player he was before.
No.
He was hardly effective.
He was playing scared, and I'd be scared too. I'm not criticizing
exactly.
him. Exactly. I'd be terrified. This is your livelihood, your family. I mean, you see it in the NFL
too.
So often. These guys get concussions way more often than it's reported.
Steroids.
Well, that fine, but the guys in the NFL are getting concussions way more often.
Yeah.
And it's ruining their lives when they're 40, when they're 41, when they're 42.
Yeah.
You hear concussion, you know what it means. Let's call it for what it really is. It's brain damage.
And Mark Savard was probably one of the top 5-10 set up men in the National Hockey League for a good 5 years at least. You know, he was in Atlanta. He really obviously hit it off with Kovalchuk there. He went to Boston, succeeded in a defense-first style, still created offense, was obviously a power play contributor. You know, the key to probably Phil Kessel's ascension to, close to star status in the National Hockey League. And you look at him now, and he's reluctant to go in the corners. He won't, you know, he doesn't take initiative. And this used to be a brash, kind of in-your-face player. And
one of his so unpopular at a time that he was hated in his own locker rooms.
Right, but he overcame that. And the problem is, of course, is he overcame that, and now he gets to a point where he's comfortable with who he is in his career and making a good living. And now it's been taken away from him. And the scariest part to me, Drew, is the fact that Mark Savard isn't exactly somebody who's always engaging in contact.
No, he doesn't usually.
Mark Savard's career essentially is going to be cut short by at least 5 to 7 years by the piece of garbage Matt Cook.
The truth of the matter is, you're right. I mean,
a spade a spade. Matt Cook's a piece of garbage.
In terms of what he did in this case,
he's classless.
Yeah, he is classless. I mean, there's one thing if you get hit with, if you take a headshot with a legitimate hockey hit.
That's right.
It's one thing if you're in the corner and a guy hits you with a clean hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm never advocating for a guy to hit another guy in the head. I think it happens too often, in fact. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you get a good hit and your head hits the glass or whatever.
Stevens on Lindros was a good hit, but he hit him shoulder to chin. But it was a good hit.
Yeah, you know, it was a clean hit. Matt Cook was a piece of garbage.
And he had his head down big time.
Yeah, because which was Lindros' trademark. He always skated through.
Lindros speaks about the concussions, guys. It's worrisome.
Well, look at Lindros' concussion. Look at Brett Lindros' concussion.
Well, Brett Lindros is more from fighting. Eric was more from just playing and having the puck all the time. But as Eric says, there's a lack of respect in the game, and I agree with that.
780-1290, area code 204-780-1290.
Boys, I think the biggest issue here, and I mentioned it before, but I think that with Mark Savard looking at, you know, basically the end of his career, mm-hmm. and the top player in the game in Sidney Crosby basically being out indefinitely. He might not play for another month. The fact that he was having this great season and now that now he might be, you know, basically, he might even be out for most of the regular season now.
Right. Well, respectfully, I mean, you know, we don't know how long Crosby's going to be.
But, we're walking on eggshells now. He comes back in a week. Oh, is he going to get hurt again? You know, the Hedman hit, guys, that's no concussion hit. That was just the after effects of the first one.
That's right. If he does take another hit, you become that much
David
more susceptible.
David Booth last year, he got hit by Mike Richards.
Yeah.
You know, you can argue if it was clean or not. I thought it was dirty by a bit of an elbow.
Yeah. It was a brutal hit at the very least.
Yeah. So Richards hits Booth. Booth comes back. He's playing in Montreal. He gets basically tapped by, I believe, Jaroslav Spachik at the offensive blue line. Yeah. Tapped. A regular hit down out for the year. So what happens with Crosby? He gets a regular hit. What if he's affected the exact same way? What if it affects his style of play?
I want to go back to Savard for a second. I mean, you know, we don't know for sure that his career is over. We're speculating that it should be.
Well,
that it should be over. If you're his family,
his career as a star player is over.
That's
unfortunately.
Fine. If you're his family, or even if you're Bruins management, don't you have to sit down with him and tell him, Mark, it's not worth it. You've made a lot of money in your career. You've done well for yourself. You have to stop and think about do you want to live life going forward.
You have to do that. And to be honest with you, not that it would have an effect. You'd hope that it would never have an effect. But Boston Bruins are a deep team. I know you want to toss it in there or not, Drew. They have Patrice Bergeron, who's had his concussion problems himself. David Krejci and Tyler Seguin now as their top three centers. Very good. There's no aspect of their discussion with Mark Savard that should include pressure and probably will include pressure because the truth is they're well off at center. They don't need him to go forward. They could use him, but I think at this point they didn't project him to be what he once was, and that's the saddest part.
That's right. When he came back, he was a shadow of himself. And once he saw that he was, he knows, you know, an NHL player knows their game better than anybody else.
That's right.
They know when they're performing to the best of their abilities or not. Mark Savard knew that he wasn't himself. I mean, it would be hard for somebody to have the self-awareness to admit that. But, I mean, really, he could have looked at video and said, look, I'm obviously not able to play the way I once was able to play. This isn't fun for me. It's in the back of my mind. It's taking over the way I play. I'm playing scared.
And that's understandable.
I mean, you know, all you got to do is, you know, you go look at this article from the Globe and Mail this week, and it's available at www.illegalcurve.com. It's about Reggie Fleming. I mean, Reggie Fleming was a former NHLer. He died at the age of 73, you know, which is, you know, not young, but it's not old by any stretch of the imagination. He played 13 seasons, suffered approximately 20 concussions, and his brain had brain damage.
Yep.
I mean, let's get the word concussion out of things. They're not concussions.
True.
It's brain damage.
And they progressively get worse, people
That's
have to
right.
realize. The second
it's
one
brain
was
damage.
The first, and the third one's, and Lindros can talk all about that, obviously. When Lindros... Basically, Lindros' last big hit that he received was going down the wing in New York, and Jason Doig, you know, former Winnipeg Jet and just a kind of an AHL, NHL fringe player.
Scored two goals in 8 seconds once.
No, that was Darren Quinn.
That was Darren Quinn.
And that was 5 seconds. But
I scored two goals in 8 seconds once.
Something like that. And Lindros comes
last
down.
Year.
Lindros comes down and gets hit by Jason Doig, you know, kind of random, but it wasn't that big of a hit. And he was so sensitive at that point that he was done. And then that was it, basically. I mean, he played for, I think, Toronto and Dallas after that, but he was never the same. And he wasn't that great in New York, but he was better than he was in Toronto and Dallas.
Yeah.
And Richie, that's what I'm saying, though. Because now we're seeing that each one of these hits is causing such significant brain damage, they have to eliminate hits. And Crosby's agent himself, Pat Brisson, basically said that, you know, hits to the head.
But where's Pat Brisson when Crosby isn't concussed? That's what I want to know. There's a bunch of other players who were concussed before. You need the best player to take awareness. Why aren't you going to the NHL
obviously
campaign?
Obviously self-serving.
Them before
you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Only when it affects you are you bothered by it.
Why aren't NHL general managers screaming from the rooftops? Why aren't the players themselves screaming from the rooftops?
There's still this archaic warrior mentality in sports, gladiator mentality. That's football and hockey. And, you know, not so much basketball and certainly not baseball. But those two sports, there's this warrior mentality that, you know, it's tough and this, you deal with it. Well, you know what? We didn't have the facts then that we do now. And that should change how you think about the game.
But it's funny, guys. We weren't even... We have been talking about concussions since, you know, the mid-90s, basically, you know, mid-90s, late 90s. But the thing is, the headshots are a new thing because the game was opened up. And now that headshots
are leading
to concussions, They have to be eliminated. And, Drew, you are right. The NHL has to adopt the NFL rule where a hit to the head is a hit to the head. It doesn't matter about intent because players are getting injured. And now that the greatest hockey player in the world is out, I think there's now going to be a sense of urgency amongst the owners, and there should be urgency amongst the players to take this out of the game. No one is suggesting taking fighting out of the game. People suggesting that is nonsense. No, that's because fighting makes hockey unique.
You're consenting
unique
to that, and you're actually aware. Like, when you're bracing yourself for a punch, it's different, and you still get concussed, but it's different when you don't see it coming, you know, blindside headshot.
Yeah.
But, you know, Donald Fair, to give you everybody a forewarning here, Donald Fair wasn't exactly clamping down on steroids,
not
a serious
not
issue in baseball. Do I think he'll clamp down on, say, a minimum 5-game or 3-game suspension for headshots? Donald Fair sees the world in dollars and cents for the NHLPA. So we'll see. Leave it there.
Okay, let's leave it there.
You want to give a shout-out to our team?
Oh, yeah, we want to give a quick shout-out to the Tuxedo 14A1 Lightning hockey team. That's the team that me and Richie coach.
They're on the. What time are they on the ice?
10:40 today, Dakota.
10:40 at Dakota. So if you're in the Dakota area and you want to go see some good amateur hockey,
they got to show them. They got to put a nice W on the board.
Good luck, boys. Get a win for me and Richie.
What's your
here.
Record now?
I don't know. We'll have to check. We'll check it. We'll check NHL.com.
Okay, there you go. When we come back, Gretzky turned 50, the Coyotes saga, racism in hockey. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9:45 in the morning on Saturday. That was a good discussion about headshots. 780-1290, 780-1290, 204 in front of that if you're calling from long distance and you want to get your words in on anything really hockey-related. Now, guys, I don't know. You may have been, you know, on the moon this past week, but Wayne Gretzky turned 50. I'm not sure if you caught the coverage of that.
The big 5-0, Drew.
The best of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm of two minds of it. One, who cares? Why did this warrant that much information?
What are you talking about? It's Gretz.
Well, I think that's I think that would be normally. If I can speak for you,
hockey
Richard,
royalty, man.
Normally, this would be the kind of article that you would roll your eyes at. But given that you're a Gretzky guy,
yes.
You'll watch Gretzky highlights till the cows come home.
That's exactly right.
There should be TSN should actually start TSN 3 just to loop Gretzky's all 894 of Gretzky's goals. It should just be a loop, like 1 through 894, and then as soon as they show his last goal, they just start again.
How much of the fact that,
by that lack of response, I'm guessing you think that's a terrible idea.
I just choose not to respond.
Okay.
Gretzky has been estranged from the NHL since Jerry Moyes put the Coyotes into bankruptcy. Gretzky claims that the NHL owes him $7 to $8 million. The NHL says, no, you had a personal services contract with Jerry Moyes. He's the one who owes you money. Anyway, whatever. They've been at loggerheads, and as a result, Gretzky's sort of been AWOL from the NHL and the promotions and everything else. For $7 or $8 million, and I'm sure Gretzky would accept less, doesn't the NHL need to make this problem go away so you get Gretzky back in your good graces?
It's pretty simple. Yes. I mean, they have to. I mean, he's As popular as Crosby is, as popular as Ovechkin is, the NHL is still Wayne Gretzky. It's like Michael Jordan in the NBA. LeBron's great, you know. Dwayne Wade's great. Kobe Bryant's great. But you think of the NBA, you think first Michael Jordan. Then you think of everybody else. You think of the NHL, you think of Wayne Gretzky, then everybody else. That's just the way it is. And, I mean, you need him around. Drew, I agree. Now, if you heard some interviews and there's stuff with him this week, you know, who knows if he wants to get back into hockey or not. I think at some level, obviously, he'd want to be back at it. But what about having him in the All-Star games? What about, you know, having him do... You want him around. You want him promoting the game. The guy is the reason for the Southern expansion. He's the reason that hockey has taken off to new heights. He changed the game in so many ways, on the ice and off the ice. And this is, to me, is a lack of respect. And you want to somehow make amends here. And truth is, you know, $6 million, oh, that's a lot of money. Now, there's one argument. Oh, Wayne Gretzky has so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it. Okay, it's a principle of the matter because the NHL has that much money and they don't know what to do with it. So,
That's not true. They know what to do with it. They know what to do with it. They need to throw good money. They know that they have to throw good money after bad to keep some of their franchises afloat.
That's true.
We're not talking about a couple bucks here. But
it
hold on.
It doesn't matter. Wayne Gretzky as a marketing
face.
Did
you just call him Rain Gretzky?
No, said,
Rain
like,
Maida
like,
for Lady Peace?
Remember when Rafer Alston called him Green Gretzky?
No, I don't. But anyways, Wayne Gretzky as a marketing face is worth way more than $6 million. I mean, it's a one-time it's not $6 million a year. You're paying the guy $6 million.
Yeah, that's true.
He's going to work for you doing whatever. He'll show up at All-Star Weekend. He'll show up at Stanley Cup Finals. He'll show up to drop the puck in whatever lame duck NHL city you need him to show up in. you know, for $6 million, make it happen. I don't care what you have to do.
Okay, so hold on. He
can we celebrate his records as opposed to talk about the $6 million he's owed?
Sure, you want to celebrate his records? Go ahead.
In dispute, like right now, like should we get up and celebrate? But in dispute right now is $6 or $7 million that is owed to him. You know, when Mario Lemieux was owed money by the Pittsburgh Penguins, he just bought the team and they gave him an ownership stake. Why doesn't the NHL just give Wayne Gretzky the NHL?
The entire league?
Yes.
Wayne Gretzky
should own the NHL.
Wayne Gretzky has 2,223 total assists in regular season and playoffs. 2,220 regular season assists. That's more than anybody else has points. It's 400 more. More than anybody else has points. And he leads the National Hockey League in goals in all time, 894. That's just regular season goals.
Are his records ever going to get broken?
I don't think so. And you know.
Well, Phil Kessel has a shot, but.
Yeah. No, they're really, I mean, you know, which record will be broken? I mean, who knows? You talk about 15-39. Total points. You talk about how he's dominant. He just sustained such success for so long and did it with such grace. And there were some stories this week. I don't know if you read a couple of the stories that were online. Kelly Rudy wrote a story about Wayne Gretzky and Craig Simpson. And Kelly Rudy's story was they were in on the road one night and they were going to the hotel and there was a homeless man outside. And apparently Gretzky gave him something like $200 in cash, booked a room in the same hotel as they were staying for the night, and got him room service.
This is a better story.
Craig Simpson was a 21-year-old. He was traded from Pittsburgh, where I guess he played with Mario Lemieux, and then he was traded to this is the 87-88 season, he traded to the Oilers, and he won a cup there with Gretzky. And he was 20 years old, and Gretzky was in the prime of his career, you know, 87. He's 27 years old about, just with Janet, just, you know, the king of the world, essentially. And it was Christmas Day, and Craig Simpson came in, he invited him because he had nobody, you know, no family there. And he came to Gretzky's in the morning, Christmas Day, and then they opened presents in the morning. And then at 10 o'clock, Gretzky told him to get in the car. And Gretzky drove to the children's hospital. And he didn't tell him where he's going. He says, we're going for a ride. He came to the children's hospital and spent the entire day at the children's hospital visiting all the sick kids on Christmas Day.
He was the ultimate in classy athletes.
Still is.
Yeah, still is. And that's why, I mean, I understand why you don't want to talk about the money, but that's why you need him on board. Because no other athlete was ever like him. Yeah. In terms of acknowledging how important their presence was to the game and to the community and to being involved and to doing those things for the sick kids and for taking young teammates under his wing. There was nobody within the same... Don't tell me that Wayne Gretzky was the Michael Jordan of hockey.
Exactly.
Nonsense. Right. It's utter nonsense. And people who say that don't know what they're talking about. Michael Jordan would have to do things otherworldly to be anywhere close to what Wayne Gretzky was to hockey. Especially keep in mind that there really, from all reports, there was no bigger a-hole than Michael Jordan.
I mean, you hear that. You hear that there's some stories. Or, yeah, Gretzky, you know, you couldn't go wrong. And I think that's what we have to do is glorify that career. And the fact is, you're right. You know, it gets back to True Drew. I mean, there's a loyalty to him. The loyalty he's shown to the National Hockey League. Never talking out against the National Hockey League. Never taking a position that puts them in that sheds a bad light on the league. And this is the kind of loyalty they pay off on the other side. I think there's a disconnect there, and I'm not sure if it'll ever be a relationship that's strong again, unless maybe Gary Bettman moves on. I think there's some personal animus there, probably.
And Gretzky still has.
I'll take Gretzky over Bettman.
I think that's a majority opinion.
Let's move on to the Coyotes saga. It was reported earlier this week that the public bond issue is either failed or on the verge of failing. The public bond issue was really how Glendale was affording to sell their taxpayers down the drain. If that fails in the public market, then they'll have to go to the private market, and that's got even less of a chance of working in the private market.
The interest rate is like 5% higher or something like that.
Yeah, the public market, I think you have to give a 5 or 6%, and in the private market, you have to give a minimum of a 9% return.
Maybe as high as 11 or something, yeah.
Is this thing is this inevitable that it's going to fail?
It's actually the biggest joke. Aside from that, yeah, it seems like it's inevitable it's going to fail. The question is, where is this team going to end up, I think, at this point? I mean, how is this going to work? I think people in Glendale are starting to get wind of this and they're starting to talk up against it as well. So,
yeah, good editorial in the Arizona Republic this week. The name of the individual.
We'll get Remus to link it on the legal curve.
Here it is. Laurie Roberts of the Arizona Republic.
Get some quotes.
Really said, we can't afford to send kids to schools. We can't afford to do all the things that really should be a priority of a city.
That's right.
And we're paying $100 million to buy a hockey team that nobody wants to attend. I understand that the arena might be a white elephant, but it's a sunk cost already.
Pink elephant?
No, white elephant. a white elephant is something that's pink an eyesore. I don't know what a pink elephant
is. What the heck is a pink elephant?
Why is it a white elephant? Why isn't it just an elephant?
Well, there's the elephant in the room, which is what people aren't talking about.
Does it need to have a color?
But a white elephant is just a...
Can we just leave it up to people's imagination?
It's a large...
Drew's political background here speaking.
There's nothing to do with politics.
That's a very political term.
Absolutely not.
It's a little bit of rhetoric.
It's a lot of rhetoric.
I don't know what either of you two people are talking about. But, I mean, the point is, it seems like Remus says that pink elephant comes from the movie Bad Santa.
I don't think it's from Bad... I don't think it originated in Bad Santa with...
great movie.
What was the guy's name?
Billy Bob.
It was a good movie.
Anyways, not important where a pink elephant or a white elephant. But, I mean, at some point in time, don't the citizens of Glendale have to actually, rise up against
this? The longer this issue moves along, the more, the more attention it garners and the more information leaks out. Because we know that Glendale maybe hasn't been the most forthright with all the information. And, there's two studies that have been published in the Arizona Republic, or spoken about in the Arizona Republic, and they have two contrasting views. I mean, and the split in projected attendance and profit is almost $100 million. It's absurd. A lot of people right now who have power who don't deserve it or know what they're doing. So I think that's the biggest issue.
A very funny Twitter feed, it actually is the fake mayor Elaine Scruggs. Yeah. Elaine Scruggs is the mayor in Glendale, and somebody is doing a fake Twitter account in her name. It's very funny.
I like Ice Edge Clowns, too, is a good Twitter account.
Those are local Winnipeg boys, but it's true.
Where we're at right now is, it's not so much, even to me, it's not so much the weak municipal bond market. Right. It's the fact that taxpayer money is about to be used, and the Goldwater Institute may or may not sue. Who knows? I don't know.
Apparently, they sued them. Who knows? We don't know
where that's
true,
at. But the issue is the issue is, will that be allowed basically by the people? And
the most appalling part is that the NHL has let this go on this long.
It's getting to the
professional
point of
professional sports league. This shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it's getting to the point of just being tremendously embarrassing.
Yeah,
I mean that's really what it's boiled. It's not even that. There's really no other way of putting it. It's just embarrassing.
It is
to the
embarrassing
NHL.
Because of the reports that came out of Toronto, and obviously that came from a source, and then the fact that it was just quickly denied by
and
by
the NHL denied everything. Of course,
they always they have to deny it
to get out of jail free. Like I'm just going to pull out my no comment card,
or we deny this exactly.
It would be
and the Atlanta Thrashers. They're not for sale except for in the legal documents. They've been trying to sell the team for 5 years.
That's the best part. Is exactly the owners of the Atlanta Thrashers or the NHL? No, the team's not for sale. Absolutely not. We're committed to this team.
It's
the owners have been trying to sell the team for 6 years.
You see the WikiLeaks thing. You hear one thing, and in the political form, going back to politics, you hear one thing. And then there's another thing going on behind the scenes. And that happens everywhere. And so people have to understand that. Lots of times what the NHL is saying is just to, save public face. But in reality, they have different motivations under the scenes.
Yeah, like the U.S. economy has been – all economists agree that the U.S. economy has been going downhill for years now. But, hey, obviously we're going to hear from politicians in the U.S. that the economy has never been stronger, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's we all know what that is.
That's a white elephant.
No, it's not. But anyways, I'd like to be a fly on the wall at the owners meeting when they quiz Gary Bettman as to what's happening in Atlanta and Phoenix.
I'm actually very much looking forward to a McLean Bettman interview on Sunday.
Is it Sunday or is it tonight? I thought it was usually tonight.
Tomorrow night.
That was during second intermission of the All-Star game.
Afternoon.
Is it I thought it was during the Saturday night, but I could be wrong. Anyways, I was going to mention that. That's always a good conversation to see because sometimes they actually look like they're going to hit each other. I think they might this week.
This one's going to be interesting.
They could hit each other.
There's lots to talk about. The concussions, Atlanta, Phoenix, and moving forward with the CBA with Donald Fair. It's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, so you can tune into that. Anyways, let's go to break. And when we come back, what are we doing when we come back? We're doing news and notes. It's amazing. We've already an hour through the show. We haven't even done news and notes. Lots to talk about, obviously. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 1 hour down, 2 hours still to go, still to come today. Joshua Cooper from the Tennessean in Nashville. Mike Greenlay, color commentator for the Minnesota Wild from Fox Sportsnet, Minnesota. And live from the All-Star Game in Raleigh, North Carolina, Steve Koulias from That's Hockey Tonight. Guys, let's move to some on-ice actions. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 780-1290, 780-1290. Really a big loss for the Vancouver Canucks, probably their best defenseman or most steady defenseman this year so far, Alex Edler. is out indefinitely. They hope to have him back for the playoffs. He is undergoing microdiscectomy surgery on his back. Yeah. Richard, you have a bad back. Have you undergone microdiscectomy surgery?
No, but Drew, that's a huge loss for them. Let's not make any mistake about it. The guy can make a good first pass. He's very good positionally. He's strong on his skates. He's really developed into a nice offensive defenseman, and he's a really good all-around defenseman, probably their best all-around defenseman because, you know, Hamus is more of the shutdown guy. That's a huge loss. And two things. Obviously, you can't understate the importance of that injury, but also you can't understate the importance of having depth defense. You know,
that's
talk
what
about
I was
going to
say.
Training defenseman, training BXA, training defenseman. You can't have enough of them. You really can't have enough defensemen.
And it was really, good foresight from Mike Gillis not to make any moves when all summer and all summer. Yeah. How are they going to fit them all under the cap? What are they going to do? Everything else. Well, now he's in a position of strength. And I mean, their biggest problem really throughout the last couple years has been a lack of depth defensemen during the playoffs.
Exactly. You know, playing the likes of Andrew Roberts and Aaron Romezzi.
And what's really worrisome here is they've even mentioned that he might be out for the season.
Yeah,
if I'm not correct.
Well, you have a bad back.
Pardon me if I'm not incorrect. And that's probably the most worrisome thing because Alex Edler is a huge part of that team right now. Sammy Salo, he might be back in a week. He might not be back for 3 weeks. Who knows? But Edler's minutes have gone up. His role on the team has gone up. His confidence has gone up. So, I mean, you have to think that now they're at least maybe considering a move, but they're pretty strong there. But
he leads the team in ice time, 24 minutes and 23 seconds per game. He leads the team in scoring and for defensemen, 32 points in 49 games. He leads the team in power play goals, 5 power play goals tied with Christian Ehrhoff, and he's a far better all-round defenseman than Christian Ehrhoff. There's really nothing that this guy doesn't do well, and he's coming into his own, and that's tough. Now, you have depth, and so you can deal with it. You have Hamus and BX, and now Keith Ballard's going to have to see a huge pump in his play. Right now, Keith Ballard's playing 15 minutes and 54 seconds a game. Well, it's been increasing, but you know what? That is where the key is right there. Hamus can handle it. BX can handle it. Ehrhoff can handle it. Their ice time with about 22 minutes, 23 minutes each won't change much. Keith Ballard is where it is, because if you have Alberts and Rome playing that much time, you're in trouble.
Well, Alberts and Rome have both been out since mid-January.
Right, and if you have those guys playing any time, I'm talking about moving forward because there's back injury, he's probably out for a long time. If you have those guys playing any significant minutes, you're in trouble. Parent and Lee Sweat, all these guys, I mean, they're not able, you know, that's top 4 minutes you're playing.
Look, you can get by playing Lee Sweat and Chris Tanny during the regular season. Sorry, Tanev. You can probably get by with those guys during the regular season, but you do not want to have to rely on them to play any sort of time during the playoffs.
And that's the big thing here. I think it's more so the minutes that he eats up in the offense, because Keith Ballard, I think he has something like 6 points or something. He's been terrible offensively.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a defensive defenseman more so.
Well, you know,
but
he has offensive skills.
Yeah, he does. But, I think with Edler's offense and the minutes that he's, you know, he's been munching, I think that, you know, something might have to change. And obviously his health, Edler's health, that is, going forward, I don't think they're going to make a move in the next couple of weeks. They're not going to panic, but maybe we'll see them add somebody at the trade deadline.
Edler leads the team, even strength time on ice. Leads the defenseman, even strength. Obviously leads the team in that. Even strength time on ice, he leads the defenseman. Third and shorthanded time on ice, first and power play time on ice. I mean, you're losing your best defenseman, all-around defenseman.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's on a team that I picked with the Stanley Cup Finals to win the Stanley Cup this year. That's a big loss. Now, you do have some savings on the cap. And Ezra's question, you know, do
and
you
Salo's
add
something? Coming back in the near future.
I mean, yeah. Salo could break a nail and be out for 3 months.
Unless you know that that Edler's out for the season,
he's at 3.25.
How do you bring him back? How do you add a defenseman at the cap? Aren't you if Edler's going to come back, you're eventually going to have to fit them all under the salary.
Right now, you're probably moving a forward.
Right now, the Canucks Right now, the Canucks are at $0 in terms of cap space.
Right.
You know, every day it's very close. Now you're losing Edler, 3.25.
Yeah. So you get some savings there.
Now, if he's out for the year, you get a lot of savings. If he's not out for the year, it changes everything.
That's my point.
Yes. I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, we don't have enough details on the injury yet.
Well, the out indefinitely.
What the heck does that mean?
They hope that he's back for the playoffs. They expect that he'll be back for the playoffs. But when you're talking about a bad back, you never know what's going to happen with a back injury.
But Drew,
it could be a long-term thing again.
When you're talking about hoping to be back for the playoffs, that's also not good.
No, right. you're exactly right. I mean,
and suddenly the team that had a very, very good top four needs Keith Ballard to get. Now, let me tell you this, though. I'll say this. Keith Ballard can skate. Keith Ballard is physical. Keith Ballard does have some offensive skill. If he plays a disciplined game and keeps his intensity up, he will be able to fill that slot fairly well. The depth they have now is far better than it was last year. But you're still losing your best defenseman. So do I think they can withstand it? Certainly until the playoffs. If they don't have him for the playoffs, can they win at all? I still think they can, but it's going to be a harder road.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if he can come back healthy for the playoffs, then maybe it's a bit of a blessing in disguise because, you know, he's a little bit more refreshed. But if he's not going to be at 100%, then you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. Let's move on to Washington, another team with Stanley Cup aspirations, of course. Alex Semin. Really, we might as well call him 1 year Semin because he signs another 1 year contract with the Washington Capitals. A 1 year contract extension, 1 year, $6.7 million. Your thoughts on the deal for both sides?
The timing was.
Same as last year, basically.
The timing was the same, yeah, but the timing, I guess, was a little bit odd. Not as far as them signing.
Kind of odd. Yeah.
Not them signing the contract, I guess, I don't know. But I think it's funny, George McPhee seems to be saying in the media that it's a good deal for him. I don't know how that is, but I think more so it's a good for Semin, a good deal for Semin and his agent. He's not having a great year.
He's injured right now.
Making the same amount of money as Nicholas Backstrom now.
He's not as good as Backstrom. He'd scored one goal in the 15 or whatever games it was before he got injured. Now, yeah. I don't love Alex Semin. Alex Semin obviously hasn't been very good in the playoffs. I mean, for the most part. I don't love his game. I think he's in and out. I think he flakes out a little bit. This team right now doesn't look as good as maybe some thought they did.
Elliot Friedman wrote about it in his 30, you know, his 30 Thoughts. Things piece
yeah.
on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, what we've been saying for a while now on this show, is this a one-line team? I know, we've been saying it for at least a month.
You listened to the show.
That must be it. 780-1290,
780-1290. I want to pull up Semin's stats for a second here because I think that, I mean, you know, look at him just by stats. Oh, doesn't matter. I mean, he's got great shots. He's a very good offensive player. But
that might be the problem, though, Richie, with Alexander Semin. He's all stats. What else does he offer besides goals and assists?
When he's not going, he's not doing it. He's not contributing anywhere else when he's not putting the puck in the net or setting up goals.
I mean, years ago in the playoffs, he was good for a point a game, and the year before that, he was good. Last year, he was set. Last year against the Habs, he had 2 assists in 7 games. So obviously it's 1 year. That's not, you know, does not a career make. It's certainly a playoff career. But he was terrible, invisible. And this year, his consistency. He started the season, looked like he was going to score 70 goals. Now, he's inconsistent, or has been this year. And can you count on him? That's the question. Can you count on him?
Well, and you're not paying him for his regular season production. You want him to
You're paying him for a bit of that, but I mean,
you're paying him, but you want him to produce in the playoffs. That's why you're paying him $7 million.
Carry your second line.
That's right. And he hasn't shown that he's able to do it when it matters in crunch time.
I mean, Drew, you mentioned is Washington a one-line team? And I mean, I would probably say yes. But Alexander Semin, it's undeniable that he is a one-dimensional player, and that's why I think $6.7 million for a guy who basically gets a hat trick and then doesn't score for 15 games is not the best deal for your team. That's why I don't know why George McPhee is quoted as saying, "I'll keep signing this guy to one-year deals." Well, are you happy to keep signing him to one-year deals and then keep getting knocked out in the first round?
George McPhee doesn't lack for ego, though, has he? You got to realize that.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, before he got injured, okay, he hadn't scored a goal since November 28th.
That's a problem.
Wow.
That's over a month because he was injured in the beginning of January. I mean,
he's a streaky scorer, and I mean,
15 games without a goal.
Yes, he's talented. He's streaky, and he's one-dimensional.
Even streaky guys, you can't pay a guy $6.7 million and not have him score for 15 games.
I think the truth is that ice time also was down a little bit, meaning that, you know, clearly Boudreau, if he wasn't doing, wasn't scoring, Boudreau didn't see a need for him to be on the ice.
Because he doesn't contribute in the defensive zone, he doesn't do the little things at all.
Yeah.
Moving to the aisle, the Islanders.
Again?
Yeah. Hey, they keep making news. We're not talking about him getting Nabokov, fortunately. Don't worry about that. Matt Molson signs a contract extension with the New York Islanders. 3 years, $9.4 million, an average annual value of $3.14 million.
How did this make it into news and notes?
Well, because when you're paying a guy when you're committing $3 million to a guy, it's going to make it into news and notes.
Oh, are we talking about Matt Molson, the guy that's leeching points off of John Tavares? Okay.
Well, the Islanders, I mean, yes, there's certainly some truth to what you just said, Ezzy.
He's definitely proved himself as an NHLer, and at least the Islanders are now keeping players as opposed to
trading their good players. Is this fair market value or are they
overpaying? Yeah, I think it's fair market value. I'm not a capologist, though.
Would he do anything if he wasn't playing with Tavares?
We don't know that, Drew. I mean, that's the million-dollar question. I don't know. I mean, for us to say one way or the other, is he obviously benefiting from it? Sure, he's benefiting from it. But is, you know, $3 million for a guy who's going to score about 20, 25 goals, and he's consistently done it for almost, you know, a year and a half now? And I think the biggest fact here is nobody wants to sign on the island.
Well, that's the surprising part, is that he actually agreed to and re-upped with the New York Islanders, which, I mean, for a team in desperate need of something that could resemble a good news story, this would be it. In fact, I believe this is going to be the headline their year-in-review video, is that Matt Molson signed for, you know, a three-year contract.
3.13, I mean, you can stomach that. It's a three-year, 3.13 deal, you can't really go wrong. You know, it's not a long-term, it's not that much money.
Were you surprised that he re-signed with them?
No, because the truth is that before him, I mean, before that, he was an LA system. He hadn't done anything, and he was an AHLer. He's going to take any kind of money that's put before him. Let's be honest. He's not, you know, beggars can't be choosers here.
Last news and notes. Thrashers defenseman Tobias Enstrom, who was supposed to be at the All-Star game, out 2 to 4 weeks with a broken finger on his right hand. You know, the All-Star game comes at a good time, but can the Thrashers, you know, can they deal with this injury? Or is it, are they slip sliding their way out of the playoff spot?
I actually don't think that. I'll let you jump in, Richie. But you know, the Thrashers have been awful lately. I mean, awful. And we talked about this weeks ago when Richie was writing an article for ESPN about how the Thrashers were, you know, the surprise team in the East and in the NHL in general. But this hurts them big time because obviously, you know, his injury happens, you know, at the All-Star break, but he's going to be out for 2 to 4 weeks. And he has talked about minute munching.
Yeah, well, he's the best defenseman all around for sure, yeah. No doubt about it. The Thrashers are terrible on penalty kill. They allow the most shots against in the NHL. You know, the power play has been good, and they scored a fair amount of goals. But Pavlich can't keep up this pace right now. And I like him as a goalie, Andre Pavlich. But they cannot keep up this pace. They are the underlying numbers here predict the tanking of a second half, and especially doesn't help when you lose your best defenseman. Now, luckily for them, the most depth they have on the team is that defense. But Tobias Enstrom is an all-star. He's an all-star.
Yep.
And you lose him, and he's better all around than Byfuglien. And he's been one of the main reasons Byfuglien's had such a good season. So this is a huge injury. And if it was in Montreal or Toronto, you'd hear about it for months.
Well, then let's go to break. When we come back, statistically speaking, you're listening to the Eagle Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Legal Curve Hockey Show, 10:15 in the morning. Before we get to statistically speaking, apparently we have a caller. Owen, are you there? Owen, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
I just got a question about the broadcasting of the All-Star skills and the game. I was looking online. I couldn't find it anywhere. I was wondering if you can let me know when and where I can find it.
I believe coverage starts at 5:30 this afternoon with you know, the Saturday pregame show, the typical Saturday pregame show on CBC, and they're covering the night.
They do the night and they do the All-Star game.
Yeah, they do the night and then they do tomorrow's All-Star game.
I see. Okay, thanks a lot.
No problem, Owen. Apparently, we're TV Guide also. Did you know that?
Well,
isn't the coverage starting earlier, though? I thought it was at 3.
Well, that's when you start watching. But that's just like the Figures game before.
Is Elvis Stoiko still Canadian champion? No, that's Patrick Chan.
Yeah.
Drew, obviously, you're Emmanuel Sandu's from your Kurt Brownings, don't you?
Can we quickly take a second to talk about the fact that there's this new Canadian tennis player who's just going to be...
Milosh.
But his name is Milosh.
Well, for us who love Seinfeld, it's like manna from heaven.
Milosh.
Another game for Milosh.
It's actually the best name ever for a tennis player, and they say he's going to be good.
Yeah, he's apparently next. He's got a huge serve. I mean, I used to play a little tennis in my day.
He's got a little known fact. Drew played tennis, beat me 6-0.
That's right.
You have a fast serve, I've heard.
That's not true.
It's like a cut.
Your backhand.
No, that's not true either. I reached, and Richard just backhanded Ezzy, so that's very funny. But
I
reached my peak when I was about 12 in my tennis career. But apparently he's got a 260-kilometer-an-hour serve. 230, sorry. I can't wrap my head around that. How do you return that?
I don't know.
I think it's only because his name's Milosh.
Another game for Milosh.
That's, you know.
I guess the most important thing is if he gets it in. If he has a good first serve percentage.
That's good. That's a good point. But we'll leave that for the...
Yeah, I think that's where he was very successful during the Aussie Open.
For the tennis hour at Wednesday nights at Nezzy's new show.
Is Djokovic going to win? Did he win? Is it over?
No, it's Novak? Tonight. It happens like at 11 o'clock Winnipeg
Djokovic
time.
Ferrer?
It's it's Djokovic and Andy Murray.
What about Federer?
Oh, Andy Murray.
Federer's out.
So he left the Blues and now he's playing tennis.
Yes, exactly. Federer and
Andy Murray versus
Nadal are both out.
Oh, who cares?
Who cares? You're the one who brought up
another
tennis.
Game for Milos.
How's Malavea Washington doing?
I don't think he plays anymore, but that's an amazing
What about
reference.
Goran Ivanisevic? That's the last time I watched tennis.
You're missing out. You get some good tennis. If you watch Federer and Nadal when they're at their prime.
I watched that Wimbledon match that one time.
Just incredible tennis. Just beautiful tennis.
It is. Really. The rackets are awesome.
Breakfast at Wimbledon with strawberries and cream.
Very good. And Bud Collins.
And Dick Enberg.
Drew, if they allowed ball men, would you ever become a ball man?
Well, Kramer ruined it for everybody.
Another game for Milos.
Anyways, 780-1290, that's 780-1290 if you want to get in on, well, if you want to talk about tennis, I suppose. But moving on to statistically speaking, Alex Ovechkin takes the second longest shift in the NHL. On average, he's on the ice for 61 seconds at a time.
61 seconds, which is also 1 minute, 1 second.
We talked about this actually a couple. This is one of our stats speaking earlier in the year, and you expected forwards minutes to go, seconds per shift to go down. And obviously, there's a power play component to this, but 61 seconds a shift, guys, still too long.
And the whole mantra, the excuse for why Ovechkin hasn't had the regular season that he's had before is he's saving himself for the playoffs.
Only Freeman keeps writing that. I want to go off on a tangent here quickly. What the heck does that mean? Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr, these guys won at least five scoring championships during the regular season. You don't suddenly you don't play 82 games, not try, and then try in the playoff. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. No, like Michael Jordan didn't play a few games in the regular season and just stop trying and average 18 points a game, and then score 30 in the playoffs consistently. It's like you practice how you play. If you play like junk, really, for Alex Ovechkin during the year, you can't just turn it on in the playoffs. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I just don't see it. That doesn't make rational sense to me. Anyways, next stat.
This rant from Richard was brought to you by Stella's Bakery, where Richard will be seen having lunch 4 days a week.
Goodness.
Richard, where did you get that Big Mac from? How are you eating a Big Mac this early in the morning? Where did that come from? I went to the washroom. When you come back and you're eating a Big Mac, I don't understand.
Okay, let's move on, game on.
The New York Rangers are the most physical team in the NHL. They've had 1,485 hits so far this season. Buffalo is last in the NHL with 884 hits.
We know the Rangers block a lot of shots. We talked about their hits last week. They continue to hit. And this is the thing, guys. Talking about, there's maybe not the most skill of this team. This team plays, we keep talking about it. They play so hard. Tortorella's instilled it. Forechecking, hit first. They have the Dubinskys and Callahans. Even with these guys out, they play physical game. Dano Girardi. They have a very good young base, and we talk about it all the time. We're going to talk about it. This team is a tough team to play. Teams that hit, that block shots that are in your face, you don't want to play those teams because even if you play them in the playoffs, generally they wear you down.
I'm gonna throw something out there right now. Mark Stahl wins the Norris Trophy in the next 3 years.
I like it.
Norris, that's right, I just said that.
He's got to get a little bit more.
There you go. That's Ezzy's bold prediction for the week.
Of the day, brought to you by Stella's Bakery.
He's got to get a little bit more in terms of offense, Ezzy, but defensively, I think he's top 10 right now in the NHL.
And Ezzy, where did you get that filet of fish from? I didn't even know they still had the filet of fish.
McDonald's on Pem.
Tampa Bay has scored 44 power play goals, third in the NHL.
We say power play goals because, percentages matter, but if you if you draw more penalties and you get more chances, the truth is, if you're a 20% power play and you get 44 goals as opposed to a 25% power play that gets 38, really.
It matters.
Right.
The goals are what you want.
Right.
Never mind the percentage.
How many of those 44 goals were scored by Rob Zamner?
I think he's still playing in Nagano. Isn't he still in Nagano?
Last
I think he left him in Nagano.
It was a Gretzky slapshot pass against the U.S. when they beat them 5-1 in Nagano.
So I still think it was a great pick. I mean, that turned out great. We finished fourth. I mean, it's a great finish.
Almost as great as leaving Gretzky on the bench during the shootout.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay has scored 44 power play goals, third in the NHL, but they've allowed the most shorthanded goals with 9.
An aggressive style, and what they've actually done, guys, I mean, they've Stamkos used to be through the seam on the other side on the half boards. On the weak side for one-timers. But teams started snuffing that out. So what they did now is they moved him to the point. And sometimes when you play forwards on the point, which the Tampa Bay is known to do, nine shorthanded goals. So there's clearly an upside to it, but also a downside. And Guy Boucher likes a little bit of risk. So it's something to keep in mind.
A high risk, high reward.
High risk, high reward.
Yeah. The Vancouver Canucks, this is an amazing stat, have not lost in regulation when leading after two periods. And in fact, in the entire NHL, teams that with the lead after the second period have a 6-6.
No. That's not it. It's no team has worse than a .667 winning percentage when leading after two periods. And that's the Edmonton Oilers. Most teams are 70% or up. But the Canucks have not lost a game
in
regulation.
They're at 100%.
That's right. Something else. Right? Now, what question is, with Edler out, will that take a hit a bit?
Well, it depends. I mean, when you have the lead, how do you, if you were a coach, and you guys are coaches, in fact, your team is getting on the ice in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
When you guys have a lead, what do you instruct your players to do? Do you instruct them to clamp down and become a defensive shell?
No.
Or do you instruct them to keep pushing the play?
But not the age we're coaching. But in the NHL, if you're up by a goal or two in the third period, you're trapping.
Yeah.
You're trapping. I mean, Bruce Boudreau is now trapping.
You know what I attribute this stat to, and you know, you guys might disagree with me here, but Vancouver this year, and I think this is why your pick of Vancouver as the Stanley Cup team is valid, because they are playing like they're in the playoffs every night. Detroit has to be another team that leads this stat every year, because Detroit, they get the lead, and it's not just because of the skill, it's because they know how to win once they have the lead. That's what you do when you're a winning team. Right. You get the lead and you keep the lead and you don't play differently.
It helps to have veteran players in that regard, Ezzy.
Right. And Vancouver, I mean, they get the lead and they have a good goalie. The puck is always in the other team's end because the Sedins basically have it on a rope. But, I mean, they know what to do when they have the lead. They don't necessarily play differently. They just play more intelligently and they play to their strengths.
The New York Islanders are...
This stat's amazing. I mean, I had to double-check, and I had to triple-check. I mean,
The New York Islanders are 0-15-2 when outshooting their opponent.
Now, one fact that needs to be thrown in there is that when you're losing a game, generally you outshoot your opponent, because teams that are down are trying to put the puck on net and teams that are up are, you know, are a little more of a shell defensively. Having said that, the fact that they have not... I mean, sometimes you just dominate the shots, period, because you're dominating the game. They have not won when outshooting an opponent. That's unbelievable
to me. That actually doesn't make statistical sense.
We're 50 games into the season.
It is a surprising stat that there hasn't been one game where they've just sort of utterly dominated. You don't even have to utterly dominate. You just have to, you know, be better than your opponent.
Play a close, even game and then outshoot them.
Yeah, it's not like outshooting your opponent.
Isn't that an amazing stat?
What
about the last one here? We're going to have Mike Greenlay on from Minnesota Wild, color commentator from FSN at 10:45. We're not going to directly ask him about this question, but, you know, questions that have to do with this. Drew.
The Minnesota Wild have outshot their opponent in only 4 games this season.
Wow.
That's those last two stats are huge statistical anomalies. How do you only outshoot your opponent 4 times in a game?
4 times in a game, no, it was 50 games.
Yeah, it just doesn't. And I mean,
and the All-Star break,
and the Wild have been are only 1 point out of a playoff spot. They've been better than anybody expected.
That tells you a lot of smoke and a lot of mirrors.
Where did you get smoke and mirrors
and a lot
from?
Of donuts.
You just put off. How did you get the pyro to go off in the studio just like that?
That's true, though. That's smoke and mirrors, Drew. If you have those kind of stats, underlying stats,
right? And that obviously means the Minnesota Wild don't usually lead in terms of puck possession,
right.
And they obviously need to shoot more.
And they're getting outshot by something like 4 shots a game.
Let's go to break. Joshua Cooper from the Tennessee and the Nashville is coming up after the break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.